To God be the glory. It's good to see each of you this morning who have come to worship with us in this place, as well as those who join us virtually. We say to each of you, welcome. We're delighted that you're here. There are several announcements that I want to draw to your attention. You'll see the insert in your order of worship. This past Monday, we had a wonderful golf tournament. The total collections are still coming in, but so far, over $26,000 was raised for missions. So we're grateful for that. Next Sunday, the youth choir will present their home concert for their choir mission tour, and they will be leading us in worship next Sunday. You want to be a part of that. It's not too late to sign up for the AO mission trip in July, and if you'd like more details, you can talk to Wes or you can sign up on the website. Tomorrow is Vacation Bible School. How many of you were students of Vacation Bible School growing up? Well, tomorrow's a big day, so pray for Miss Jessica and pray for the teachers and the mothers and dads as we celebrate. You can see, obviously, from our set that tomorrow is Vacation Bible School. Dearly beloved of God, we gather for worship, and with one voice, we can collectively, as the body of Christ, pray and sing and hear from God's Word. Join us as we worship together.
Church, this morning as we gather for worship, we do so in this space and in this holy place. And as we come, we don't come just with the best that we have to throw on, but we bring all of ourselves that we are. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, we bring all that we have and offer it to God this morning. In your printed order of worship, you'll find our call to worship, and I invite you, join me, stand if you're able. Let's offer these words to God together. I'll read the light print if you'll respond with the bolded italicized text. God calls us to worship, and we come, some with laughter and songs of joy. But God calls us to worship. Some from a sense of obligation or habit. But still, God calls us to worship. Some with hearts heavy with grief. And yet, God calls us to worship. Some with distraction or exhaustion. And still, God calls us to worship. Some with eagerness and enthusiasm. And God calls us to worship. Some with stress and weary souls. Still, God calls us to worship.
Bring all our joy and pain, hurt and hope into this place of Spirit given grace, love, and hope.
Thank you. Well, good morning, girls. Where'd all the boys go? I'm very glad you girls are here this morning. So tomorrow starts Vacation Bible School. Can you guys guess where we're going to be? Space. It's exactly right. Yep, you did. We're going to be in space. And so we are going to be learning about how to shine God's light. Now, Jesus' light is not something that we can see. It's not like the sun and the stars and the moon, but we can feel it. And so this week, we're going to be learning about ways that we can shine Jesus' light. So even if you're not coming to VBS, you can still learn these things too. So we are going to be talking about how when life feels dark, we can shine Jesus' light. So sometimes we are sad. Sometimes our friends are sad. Sometimes bad things happen, and it feels like life is dark. But God gives us hope. God promises to always be there with us and to help us make it through. And we can share God's hope with others. When we tell others about Jesus and how very much he loves them and what he did for them, we are shining Jesus' light and showing people that even though life can seem really dark sometimes, that Jesus is still there with them. Now, sometimes people don't always get along. Do you always get along with your brothers or sisters? Not always.
Just sometimes.
Yep.
I got three sisters.
You have three sisters. Wow. So sometimes people don't get along. But when people don't get along, we can shine Jesus' light then too. Because we are called to be peacemakers. Now, that's a big word. But what it means is we are called to help other people learn how to work together. Because we are all part of the kingdom of God. So when you find yourself arguing with your brother or sister, I hope that you will take a big deep breath and think about how you can get along with them, because then you're shining Jesus' light. We're going to be learning that when life is good, that we can shine Jesus' light then too and talk about all the good things that God is doing in our lives. And when we are sad, we can shine Jesus' light then too. God comforts us, and we can comfort others when we share God's love with them. And finally, we're going to learn that when people need help, we can shine Jesus' light then too. So when you see somebody that needs help and you go help them, you are shining Jesus' light. You are showing them that other people care about them, and you can share God's love with them. So if you're coming to VBS, that's great. But even if you're not coming to VBS, you can still find ways to shine Jesus' light. Let's pray. Loving God, help us to find ways to shine Jesus' light. Thank you for all the many ways that you help us. Thank you for always being there for us and for always loving us. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, go back and see Miss Lynn. Okay, bye. I'll see you later. Today, we are blessed to dedicate Thomas Edward Fennell, who is just about 9 months old now. We are so excited to have him and his parents, Matt and Macy, in our church. They found our church during COVID, and we are so grateful for them. They are a part of our young adult Sunday school class, and we're so thankful that they are here. And as part of our baby dedication, we have some very special things for you guys. We have a certificate to help you remember this day. And it also has a Bible verse that Matt and Macy picked out for Thomas, which is Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. And that says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." There you go. We also have a Bible for Thomas. It is the Rhyme Bible Storybook. And so we hope that this Bible helps him learn about God's great big love for him as he grows. And we have God's blessings for baby, which will be prayers that you can pray over him and some nursery rhymes that you can sing with him. And we hope that this too helps him learn about God's big love for him. We are so thankful that you guys are a part of our church family.
And I think Thomas likes those books, the Bible and the book. That's great. Matt and Macy, you all are such a blessing to this church family. And I know you know Thomas is a blessing to you. This church family sees Thomas as a blessing to the entire church as well. So we dedicate him today, and we're so excited. I want to ask the church, join me in our litany of dedication that you find in your printed order of worship and also on the screen as we dedicate Thomas today and his parents, Matt and Macy, to the Lord. Join me as we share in this child dedication. Matt and Macy, you have come today recognizing your child as a gift from God, and with thankful hearts, you've chosen to dedicate your child to the Lord. As parents, you are called by God to be on mission with the Lord, raising your child in Christian faith. Recognizing this high calling, do you commit to live out your faith, teach this faith to your child, and partner with the church as you serve God in this mission? As a church, we commit that this child is ours as well. We promise to walk alongside you and to teach Thomas about God's great love. We will be his Sunday school teachers, mission leaders, choir leaders, and VBS teachers. Join me in a prayer of dedication. Lord, the future seems so uncertain. And yet we look at this child and we see hope for the future. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that he brings to our lives. Guide his way, Lord. Make his path straight and give him strength. As parents, spiritual leaders, teachers, mentors, and friends, help us to share your goodness with him. When he asks questions, may we guide him with the best of our abilities to the knowledge of both your promises and mysteries. Lord, we entrust this child into your care. We are grateful for him and for the example he is for us, an example of faith and trust and joy and delight. May we all be more like children. Help us, Lord, to see our world through the eyes of a child. We pray for Thomas and his family. We pray that he might know your love and see its power. Take all we offer to this child, our care, our wisdom, and our mistakes, and through them reveal yourself. Take all the experiences that he will have, and through them speak your gracious word. As this child grows in body, mind, and spirit, feed and guide him by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Matt and Macy and Thomas, may God bless you. Good morning.
Are you growing weary? Thank you so much for that, Carolyn. I cannot think of anything better we could do right now than to together reach out to Jesus because he is reaching out to us. Will you pray with me? God, we come to you this morning in a posture of gratitude and humility. Each of us have known your love. We have experienced your care and provision in our own ways. We thank you that you show us your presence, you give us good gifts, and you love us in spite of our many shortcomings. And you invite us to extend that love now to the world around us, to care for others as deeply as we care for ourselves. And so we bring the needs of our world before you now. We pray for the many who do not have enough food to eat or shelter to keep warm, enough employment or money to pay the bills, enough medicine or medical care. Show us how we can follow your call to meet the needs of those around us. We also pray for those who have more than enough, but who still struggle to find purpose and meaning in life, who indulge in dangerous or self-serving activities to dull their pain or loneliness. Show us how we can reach out to those who are hurting or who are in despair. And God, this morning, as a church family, we especially lift up the upcoming week of VBS in our prayers today. We pray now for every child who will enter our building this week, for every volunteer who will give of their time and energy to sharing your love with the littlest ones in our community. May it be a fruitful week where our kids can grow in their faith and have fun together in your name. And God, for that child who feels the gentle nudging of your Spirit, calling them to step out and make that first-time profession of faith, we pray for their courage. And we thank you for the gift of getting to be a part of their story. God, your grace reaches out to all of us. You call us to live as citizens of your kingdom, working together with one heart and one mind. Strengthen us to live in a manner worthy of the good news we have received, offering our lives in service of your kingdom, where the last are first and the first are last, and there is grace enough for all. As we focus today on your words from the Sermon on the Mount, prepare our hearts to hear what we need to hear. And may our treasure always be found in you, in you alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This morning's scripture is found in 2 Kings 5, 21 through 27. So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running towards him, he got down from the chariot to meet him. "Is everything all right?" asked Gehazi. Answered, "Everything my master sent me to say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me. from the hill country, from Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing. By all means, take two talents, said Nahum. He urged Gehazi to accept them. Then tied up the two talents of silver in two bags with two sets of clothing. He gave them two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. When he went in, he stood before his master. Elijah asked him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "Your servant didn't go anywhere," Gehazi answered. But Elijah said to them, "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you in this time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever." Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprosy, and it had become as white as snow. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This morning we add a new song to our worship. I invite you to look in your printed order of worship. You'll find the hymn insert for a new text to us, rather a new tune. Not so much a new text, from the psalmist, Psalm 62. Let's learn this chorus together. I want to sing it for you real quick, and then we'll sing it together, and then I invite you to stand and join me as we sing this entire hymn together. The refrain sounds like this.
Oh, praise Him, hallelujah. My delight and my reward, everlasting and ever failing, my Redeemer, my God.
Let's sing that together.
Oh, praise Him, hallelujah, my delight and my reward, ever.
Together and sing.
My soul finds rest in God alone, my rock and my salvation, a fortress strong against my foes, and
I'm
set my gaze on God alone and trust in Him completely. If every day bore out my soul, and He will prove His mercy. Though life is but a fleeting breath, a sigh too deep to measure, my King has crushed the curse of death.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this fellowship and for the many blessings you provide. We ask for comfort in your healing hand to those in need. We sometimes tend to focus on worldly issues, which leads to uncertainty and anxiety, causing us to express frustrations and hurt feelings or division. We know that a strong focus on you and faith in you can provide the confidence and assurances that only can come from you. It is with this confidence and assurance that we return a portion of what is yours and dedicate our love offerings and efforts to the work you would have us to do here and in the communities we serve. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you, Jane. I kept waiting for the movie clips like Friday night, but maybe that'll be next time. We are continuing this morning with our sermon series on becoming God's person. We've been focusing on this year as we think about our intentional discipleship. This morning, we're thinking about becoming a value-based person as we listen to the words of Jesus as we continue through the Sermon on the Mount. So this morning, I invite you to hear these words as Jesus continues teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Hear these words from Jesus. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning for us. In many ways, we could say this morning, this message is pretty much common sense. In some ways, we could summarize what Jesus is saying. In one way, we could say it this way: if you want something that is meaningful in life, then get something of value. In other words, maybe let's think about things we buy or purchase. We could maybe take part of what Jesus is saying and think of it this way: if we're going to purchase something, if we're going to get something for ourselves, then get something that's going to last. Get something of quality. Get something of value. We hear that message all the time in advertisements and in commercials. Get something of good quality. Avoid that which is cheaply made. Instead, get something of value. Buy things which are going to last. Get things in your life and focus your life on things that have value. Now, in order to make this point, Jesus gives three very vivid mental pictures for his listeners to think about. And interestingly enough, these three examples were great sources of wealth in Jesus' day. In other words, Jesus was using some practical examples of things that people valued in his time that he wanted to change their perspective on. Think about these three. First, he says, avoid things that moths can destroy. Now, in Jesus' part of the world, a person's wealth was often consisted of fine and elaborate clothing. It was easy to recognize a wealthy person in Jesus' day because of the clothes that he or she would wear. At this time and in this culture, many people often had one robe. They had one garment, one piece of clothing to wear, and they wore that piece of clothing until it wore out. But not a wealthy person. A wealthy person had many items of clothing, and he or she would wear different items of clothing every day. It was a symbol of wealth and prosperity. In Jesus' day, clothing was very important. In the scripture passage Robert read for us earlier, it's a strange story in 2 Kings, but I wanted him to read it because, in part, it tells the story of Gehazi, who is this servant who was so focused on the importance of clothing that he does something absolutely ridiculous. In fact, because of Naaman's leprosy and what happened with Naaman, Gehazi wants to make some forbidden profits from Naaman's leprosy. So Gehazi, the servant, asks Naaman, knowing that he has just been cleansed of his leprosy, knowing that he is in a good mood, he asked him for a talent of silver and two changes of garments, two items of clothing. It was a greedy, ridiculous request. Money and clothes. How could a person be so greedy after all that Naaman has just gone through? Well, because of his greed, seeking money and two sets of clothes, what we read in the scripture is that Gehazi actually, when it is discovered what he's done, receives the leprosy that Naaman himself had been cured of. In other words, God is saying we should not focus on the importance of nice clothes in our lives. You might also remember the story of Achan in the Old Testament. He was a man who the scripture says, quote, kept a godly Babylonian garment for himself. It was after a war, after a battle, and Israel had been told not to keep any plunder for themselves, but Achan did not obey this word. He kept clothing for himself. And because of his greed for elaborate clothing, the Bible says Achan lost his life. Two biblical examples of what happens with the excessive desire for nice clothing. Jesus says, he's teaching here, we should not be worried about our clothing. We should not spend large amounts of time and effort on what we're wearing. Jesus says clothing is not something that is permanent. It's not something to set our hearts on, because clothing can always lose its beauty or value. As soon as you begin to treasure it, moths may get in, and the beauty of the garment, the beauty of the clothing can be destroyed. There is no permanence to it, Jesus says. It's not something that we should spend a lot of time focusing on. Now, is Jesus saying we should not go clothes shopping? I wish he was saying that. I wish that was what his message was. As a kid, I hated clothes shopping. I would have loved to have had this message to say, no, Mom, Jesus says we shouldn't spend time shopping for clothes. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying we should not excessively spend time, money, effort, and energy on something that is not permanent and does not ultimately have value. That's the first mental picture, the clothes that a person wears. The second mental picture Jesus gives us is, he says we should avoid things which, in our version this morning, vermin can destroy. Probably the way you're more familiar with that verse is rust can destroy. Now, the Greek word that is used here for rust or vermin is the word brosis. And brosis literally means eating away at. That's often why rust is used in this mental image. We know what rust does to metal. It eats away at it. It corrodes it. It destroys it. This is the only place in the New Testament where this word brosis is used in some translations as rust. It literally means something that is eaten away at. But probably the better picture is what the verbiage in our text for this morning is, and that is vermin. In Jesus' day, a person's real wealth was in clothing, but it was also in the amount of corn, the amount of grain, the amount of goods for food that a person had stored away in his or her barns. We remember the story in Luke's gospel of the man who had such good crops that he wanted to build bigger barns to store all of his wealth, and yet ultimately ended up losing his life. The message in that parable is similar to what Jesus is teaching here. See, the problem is if we put all of our focus on corn and grains and even these material goods, things come in and eat away at them. Worms, mice, rats, they come in, and not only do they eat away at that which we have stored up, but they pollute, they destroy that which we were so focused on that provides our wealth and prosperity. Jesus is teaching there is no permanence to these things. They will not last. And these things are good. Corn and grain and material possessions that will feed our bodies, they're good things. But Jesus says they are not ultimately to be our focus. Why? Because something will come and eat away at it. Something will come, rust or worms or mice or rats, something will come and eat away at that which we have worked so hard to achieve and to hold on to. The material things of life will always be eaten away at, Jesus says. We should not spend so much time and effort and energy on these things. The third mental picture Jesus gives us, he talks about thieves breaking in to steal. The word Jesus uses for breaking in here is the Greek word diorusine. And that word literally pictures something that is being dug away at. Now, in Jesus' day, most people had homes in which the walls were nothing more than baked clay. In other words, if you wanted to break into someone's home and steal something, you didn't have to pick a lock. You could just use a tool or an instrument or even your hands and dig away at the walls of the homes. In other words, people would break into someone's home literally digging through the wall to take what that person had stored away. So Jesus is saying here that a person's treasure can literally be stolen away by thieves who dig through the walls to take your highly valued possessions. Once again, Jesus is teaching there's no sense of permanence to those things you have, even in your home, that you have stored away that you highly valued, because even then, someone can break in and steal them. So, with our clothing, moths can come and take away their beauty and their usefulness. With our food, things can come to eat away at and pollute and destroy those things that we hold valuable. With our possessions in our homes, thieves can break in and they can steal these things. Jesus wants to say, he wants to warn us against the pleasures of life, which will eventually wear out. To warn us against the pleasures of life that will be corrupted and polluted. To warn us against the pleasures of life that we so highly value that can be taken away from us at a moment's notice. So what Jesus says is teaching us is this: anyone whose satisfaction in life is dependent upon all of these kinds of material things is ultimately doomed to disappointment. A person whose treasure are in things is bound to lose his or her treasure, for in things there is no permanence. They are not things that will last. Jesus is directly addressing his culture. These are things he knew that the people listening to him that day as he gave the Sermon on the Mount, they highly valued. These were things that were valued in his culture. And he says, these are not the things you should be focused on. So if not, what should we treasure? Fortunately, Jesus tells us. Jesus not only tells us what we should not treasure, but then he goes on to say, instead of all of these temporary kinds of things, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. If we want to talk about what Jesus says we should value, if we want to measure something, the value then should be compared to treasures in heaven. Now, the Jewish people of Jesus' day, they were very familiar with this phrase, treasures in heaven. They identified with the treasures in heaven And they identified those treasures as two different kinds of things. The first thing was deeds of kindness. One type of treasure in heaven was a deed of kindness that a person of faith might do for someone else. There was a famous story in the day of Jesus about a certain king. He was King Monabaz of Adabain. And King Monabaz converted to Judaism. And when he converted to Judaism, there was a famine going on in the land. But when this King Monabaz converted, he took all of his wealth and he gave it away. He gave it away to all the people around him. Now, following that act, his family came and scolded him for giving away all that the family had accumulated. And here was his response to his family. King Monabaz says, "My father's gathered treasure from below, but I have gathered treasure from above. My father stored treasure in a place where people can rule, but I have stored treasures in a place where no person can rule. My fathers," he said, "collected treasure which bear no interest, but I have gathered treasure which does bear interest. My fathers gathered treasures of money, but I have gathered treasures in souls. My fathers gathered treasures in this world, but I have gathered treasures for the world to come." Treasures in heaven. The Jewish people of Jesus' day recognized, including Jesus' disciples, that treasures in heaven included acts of kindness that one does for someone else. But the second way that people in Jesus' day thought about treasures in heaven was a person's character. Who a person is. Not only what he or she does, but who a person is. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, "There are no pockets in a shroud." In other words, when you die, you're not taking anything with you. The only thing that a person takes with him or her from this world is her character and faith. When Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was asked if he would live in a pagan heathen city if he were paid a very well salary for ministering there, Rabbi Kisma replied, "Absolutely not. For in the hour of a person's departure from this world, neither silver nor gold nor precious stone will accompany him or her, but only his faith." The people of Jesus' day believed that treasures in heaven referred to deeds of kindness done to one another and a person's character. See, maybe these are the specific things Jesus was talking about when he refers to treasures in heaven. Or maybe he was speaking more generally, just about living the life of faith. I read this week about a person who was playing devil's advocate with this portion of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And he writes and he says, "If we really want to waste our lives instead of value our lives, let me offer some ways that we can waste our lives." He lists five things. First, worry a lot. Start worrying early in the morning and intensify your anxiety as the day goes. That's a good way to waste your life. Second, make hard and fast predictions in your life. Third, focus your attention on getting wealthy. Spend all of your time every day focused on money. It's the perfect way, he says, to waste your life. Or fourth, care or compare ourselves to other people. If we really want to waste our lives, then just compare yourself with those around you. You will either live a life full of pride or full of envy. Or fifth, he says, lengthen your list of enemies. If there's one thing above all others that will keep our wheels spinning, keeping us from getting anywhere in life, it is perfecting our skills at the blame game. Don't accept responsibility. Just focus all of your attention on your list of enemies. He says, put these five suggestions into motion and you will set new records for wasting the valuable life God has given to you. Jesus says something different. If you're going to value something in this life, then value and treasure the things that are of God. That will prevent you from wasting your time. It will keep you from unnecessary worry. It will allow you to strengthen your relationship with God. This, Jesus says, is how you are to have treasure in heaven. As one person has stated, our goal then is not to find more time, but to use our time more wisely. The same is true for our values. It's not that we need to value more things. We simply need to value the right things. We simply need to value the things that Jesus says are truly important in this life. For Jesus says to his followers, never forget. Don't ever forget. Don't let it ever slip out of your mind that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful for a challenging and yet important message. Lord, we constantly receive messages from our world about the things that we should value. But we know, Lord, that you have provided a better way, a better path. So lead us and guide us and give us faith and courage to value the things that you say are most important. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response today is number 602. It is, Teach Me, O Lord, I Pray. This is an opportunity for you to respond to God's leadership in your life. Whatever decision God has laid upon your heart, we invite you at this time, come share with us what God is doing in your life as we stand together to sing hymn 601. House. We're so grateful for God's Spirit that is here, and I pray you take that presence with you and all that you say and do throughout this coming week. What an important and special week we have coming up with Vacation Bible School this week. I hope you'll be in prayer for it and come up and serve and help in any way that you can. I know you'll be more than welcome to do that. So we keep all of those matters in prayer as we go through this week. Join me for a benediction prayer as we prepare to leave this place of worship and to go forth to serve God through the coming week. Join me as we pray. As you leave this place today, may you never be too young to respond to God's word, nor too old that you would ignore it. May you never be too shy to follow God's commands, nor too bold that you would refuse them. May you never be too busy to do God's will, nor too lazy to try. But may God take us as we are and fill us with faith and courage that every day of our lives we would value the things that Jesus says are most important. For we make this our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.